Digital doesn't matter. You are the key.
The ability to communicate is and remains the strongest competence of leaders in the digital age. It is a huge, multifaceted topic.
Barbara Liebermeister is author, lecturer, and expert for digital leadership. She puts the spotlight on individual strengths and believes in the human being as a brand.
You are the key.
Barbara Liebermeister addresses the challenges of leaders in the digital age in her role as head of the Institute for Leadership Culture, as an economist, and as a human being herself.
At the end of the day, the relationships between human beings is the overarching connection.
Digital doesn't matter. You are the key.
A very warm welcome to everybody. Listen to us today because we are here in English and this is Digital ist egal, was zählt bist du, like always. But I have a very special guest today by my side and it's Valentina. Valentina, a warm welcome to you too.
Thank you so much. Very warm welcome to everyone and also happy to be here and do some English exercising with you today. So very much looking forward to the conversation today.
Okay, me too, Valentina. It's not my first language, so it's very helpful
well,
for our listeners. So who is Valentina? Valentina Luzina. She's leading the HR department at WUGA, a Berlin-based story-driven game studio. WUGA employs more than 300 people from over 50 nations to create games for a global audience. Valentina, who is originally from the Ukraine, joined WUGA in 2017 and today leads a team of 11 people. Her team of HR and talent acquisition experts covers the entire employee journey, from finding the right talent to join the studio in Berlin, to relocating, onboarding, learning, and professional development through offboarding. Prior to WUGA, well gained experience as HR business partner in consulting, tech, and product companies. The combination of corporate and startup experience allows her to have a deep understanding of how HR contributes to a company's success, how trends impact business and people, and what we can do to build a great workplace. Valentina holds degrees in management and psychology. Additionally, she's certified by is SHRM, Society for Human Resource Management. It's an American association of HR professionals and as a senior HR professional. Outside of work, Valentina is passionate about outdoor activities and gardening. Oh, that's so sympathetic. Hello, Valentina. Oh, glad that you join us today. And we had already called together and did a brainstorming in the beginning what could be very interesting to listen to her. What are the biggest challenges you face in the gaming industry regarding digital leadership? Because gaming in industry, it's a very special industry, I think. And so what do you recognize as the biggest challenges there?
Thank you very much, Barbara, for the invitation as well and for this time with you today. So we would be super happy to talk about something that is also another passion of mine outside of outdoor activities and gardening and being in game development already for a while. I mean, I can still say that the industry is quite young, right? So sometimes if you look into our like a big industry surveys, you can see that it's still included in the entertainment or in the media, which is of course totally fine, but we need to acknowledge the fact that as an industry we are young, but also being young industry, it already gives a little bit of this preview and glimpse of what kind of challenges we face
yeah
as a as a company. Mm-hmm. And partially, I want to start my answer with addressing the digital part of it, right? So the industry is digital as it was born digital during the digital times, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, for us, we don't consider it as something revolutionary or coming to completely change our lives or our working routines. It's rather part of who we are. But around us, there are also other companies, other businesses. Environment around us changes way faster than when it comes to traditional businesses where people produce white goods or any kind of heavy machinery, because this sustainable demand for heavy machinery is very predictable. Mm-hmm. But if you ever play the video game, be it on a casual game,
I did.
You see? And maybe next day you would be like, do I play something new? And this is the span of the interest, right, that you would have. Because as a casual gamer, you can play for one day, you can play for 30 minutes a day for a year, or as long as the story keeps you interested in it, right? Mm-hmm. But that also, like, if we step out of this behavior of the players, right, which we eventually all of us potentially are playing something, right? Mm-hmm. The industry and competitors, they change super quickly. Mm-hmm. And this constant change management requires our leaders to be ready also to handle the disruptions that are constantly happening. Oh, because tomorrow there is a new game, which everyone is absolutely just stunned with. I remember the Pokemon Go, right? Mm-hmm. And there were people on the streets with their phones, and then some others who didn't get still the hype of it were like, what is happening? Who are these zombies, you know, who are trying to cross the street, like with the red light? And that's why, like, for the leadership, the challenge is to stay resilient, mm-hmm. continue to develop, continue to innovate, continue to deliver, right? And always, always, always be ready that the change will happen without you noticing that it already started. The leadership part, when it comes to the working with the people, though, right, it's very also it's very specific. It's not any specific or anything new that is not like we as experts on the market, we don't know, but making sure that and focusing on your team health, on your team mood is super important. Mm-hmm. Because
mm-hmm. Okay, but for me to be to understand it very well is you have to be the most flexible and open-minded leader I can find here in Germany or international if you are the gaming industry. And the other thing is, but be aware the health of your team. That's a second, but it's also a priority, but I get it. Yeah. Two things are so important in comparison with other industry. It's So that means, in my opinion, that change or to think disruptive, that's a routine in your business.
In a way, it's part of the business, right? Yeah. And this is something that, like, that's why I even use the word resilience, right? Because resilience, it's something that makes you ready for the changes. And of course, we are human beings.
Dein digital hack.
Resilience is the key component for whatever comes next. And the meaning behind this is resilience is the base for everything, for the leader of today and tomorrow.
And
that's
well
a great sentence. I love it.
Role, and to role model for the team as well, right? Mm-hmm. Because besides the everything what comes with the work in the fast changing environment, there is still some like traditional parts of leadership are always there. For example, formulating vision and strategy. No one would ever take it away from you. If you don't do that, then probably you're not a leader, right? And then mm-hmm. this is part of it. And then iterating on the strategy, iterating on the vision is super important. Making sure that your team, your game, your division has this direction of where you are going, right? And then connecting it to the strategy. And as well, if strategy changes, right, and making sure that everyone is on board on that. So, and that's why this layer of being ready for the changes is just part of their daily routine. And of course, it does have an impact on people's confidence, right? Mm-hmm. But we always talk about the fact that should you be willing to work in a super stable industry, like the game development, and Wooga is like, compared to many other companies, Wooga is actually doing great job sustainably, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, we did have our ups and downs, right? But compared to others, we're sustainably focusing on the things that we're great at. But if you compare us to a very traditional business anywhere in the world, right? So most probably we wouldn't look as sustainable, but that's also part of it, right? This is where the fun, the creativity, and the new ways of working are coming with, because as you already speak to so many different people, right?
Yeah.
Across all the different industries and types of companies, you know that introducing the change in a very traditional, I don't know, like a chemical producer is probably not as easy as in the company that has 50 people and they started operating.
Of course. Yeah. You are a very young industry, a very young company. But what I found very interesting is that you said 80% of your clients are women. And that's how correct. Can you explain this phenomenon? And they are in average 55 years old, and they have or they play each day in average or each game for 10 minutes to 60 minutes. So tell us a little bit about your target groups and what do they do? What's a profile, and for what do you have to be ready then to face this? First thing is, it's a very, very fast industry and you have to think disruptive. But in this combination of your target audience, how can it be?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. Thank you for it, Barbara. It makes me think in many different directions, but of course I'll try to summarize it all together. So that's correct, right? So the target audience of our, for example, of one of our greatest IPs, intellectual properties, meaning games, it's called June's Journey, is women, right? I'm also one of the people who is playing June's Journey. And I know that a lot of women, right, who don't consider, if you ask them, and they would never say that, oh, I'm a gamer or I'm a player. They just say, no, I just have some casual time on my phone, right? And then, and this casual time on their phones, this is where the time when they play, yeah? Mm-hmm. And the main idea of the game, it's the genre of hidden object. This is where you look for the certain items on the screen. But what is the most precious and the most interesting and the most engaging part for it, for me specifically, now I'll speak for myself, is the story that evolves with each scene and that keeps you engaged. And this is actually something what June's Journey does the best on the market, right? It keeps our players, who don't consider themselves players, engaged into the game without them proactively saying, I'm a gamer, and it doesn't matter, right? So they just explore the story that our writing team puts together, that our art team decorates, right, and creates the scenes that make the illustration to the plot twist, to the chapter, to anything that comes with a story. So with these terms, of course, including the aesthetics of June's Journey, because it refers to a specific period of time, right? So it's the beginning of the 19th century. And then as well, it's beautiful and it's beautifully drawn, right? And of course, the story with some like elements of detective and the kind of creamy, I don't know how to say it in English, with some creamy included into it, it's usually very, very engaging. And if you want to start playing it on vacation, I give you a guarantee that you will be included for quite some time for this topic.
Okay, great. And, yeah, I will do this.
And then as well, we also have men who are playing, right? Of course, the dominant audience is among women just by the nature of the product, right? Because it naturally involves more interest of the wider audiences across the world, because we are also having a lot of players, not only in Europe, right? America is one of the biggest markets that we have. Mm-hmm. That's why this is where the internationality of the team that is working on the game is coming from, right? So we are super proud of employing more than 50 different nationalities, but making and bringing this context from all over the world into one company is actually very, it's very rewarding, because we are able to target what our target audience, for example, in Japan potentially mm-hmm. interested in, mm-hmm. or what our target audience in the US would be absolutely happy with, right? And then yeah. they can relate to the scenes of, I don't know, any kind of places they have yeah. been to in the US. And that's yeah. very, that's very interesting. And at the same time, as you say, right, very digital, because talking about any kind of physical material production, we don't have any, everything is online.
Yeah. yeah, yeah. How have you utilized digital tools and technologies to improve leadership structures within your company?
So for us as well, with the COVID's effect, mm-hmm. right, where people were at home for quite some time. We already, before COVID, we already worked in a like a highly technological environment. We're using a lot of tools, a lot of different spaces, right? But we used to be in the office and we just took it for granted as everyone else, right? But with the COVID changing the way how and where from people work, right? And how often they're together in the office, it made us, of course, review and change and specify certain things that we consider important. And here, mm-hmm. I specifically mean the importance of the human touch. And mm-hmm. it's not a, like, it's not a physical touch in any way, right? But having this face-to-face time with your colleagues, it's actually the base, the basis for the creativity, the basis for brainstorming, the basis for making something outstanding. Because in a certain way, digital tools, they just take away a little bit from this process of brainstorming together, because people are nice to each other, people try to mute themselves, but then they are thinking, does it actually, mm-hmm. is it important what I'm trying to say, or I'll stay here on mute yeah, and
yeah.
I will not.
The brain is working always, yeah, and you exactly. cannot stop the ideas behind yeah. and totally agree. You have to create yeah. a physical touch, even digitally, yeah, because we humans, we are not made for yeah. this two-dimension work. Yeah. We are made yeah. for the three-dimension work. And yeah. if this comes from an HR expert of the gaming industry, thanks for this.
Deine digital mission.
And we do use the combinations of tools, right? So, for example, we, of course, like we prefer and cherish the time in the office. We ask people to have the team days where they're with their teams. And on these days, we ask them not to have that many meetings. So they just spend the time in a small kind of calling space where they still are on the screen. And the same we do in HR team, right? So we do have, we are all constantly on Wednesdays in the office as a team, right? And we use this time as well to brainstorm, to develop few things, and the creativity for some of the teams is less important. But when it comes to art or writing, or teams that, or engineering teams that are there to make something that they haven't done before, or to come to a faster conclusions on certain things, it does of course requires the space to have this. And for the tools, we of course used a lot Miro, right? We used mm-hmm. a lot of Menti, but at the same time, that's why we have Office. That's why we have yeah. all the tools and all the physical spaces for people to be together. Yeah. And it's very much encouraged.
Yeah, and so that's a very specific question to you, especially, I'd say. Would you agree that creativity is, or if you want to be very creative, then it's important to sit together in presence? Would you agree to this? Because this is what some experts said, and it's my opinion, even I'm working usually digitally, but we as human beings, we all know that there's much more when we meet in person. And one of the things, not just we feel there's more when we meet in person, some kind of work like creativity. I feel much more creativity when I sit there in person with some people, and I cannot explain because I scribble perhaps something and show it directly. And of course, I can do it digitally too, but it's for creativity or to be very successful in creative things, I need this physical touch. And would you agree? Is that
I would agree to it, yeah? Right? I mean, there are of course always exceptions, but generally speaking, and this is what we all learn if we ever have gone to any communication or like a public speaking trainings, that when you speak, you don't only speak with your voice, with your voice modulation, you speak with your body, right? Like you show a certain signs. And having, for example, experienced moderator in the room who facilitates the workshop on a certain problem which requires creative solution, and who sees me trying to say something but not being able to say it, right? So through the screen you will lose this moment. That's unfortunate, that's what it is. Yeah. But the experienced moderator in the room will see it and will turn to me and say, "Well, you have something to add. I see that you have this motion, right?"
Yeah.
And this is something that's a very simple example, right? That we are not in control of certain like movements. We can train them, of course. We always can get better with some kind of like a mastery, but we generally don't need to, because creativity needs to, like, it has this moment of bring everything on the plate, right? Put it all and let's look together, because maybe today is not the great time to for this idea, but tomorrow it's going to be a great time, and we need to look into it now. Yeah. And this is why I think it's super important that people meet in person, because otherwise, where is the fun then, right?
Yeah, where's the fun then? Yeah, even we are laughing here. But you know what? I'm reading a book, and this is, or the title is, Thinking Outside the Brain. And you read there lots of similarities, what you described already, or for example, that's the reason why we are running, and after a run we have the best ideas, because the run, the movement with the body was the preparation, I can say, to be then, or to find a solution finally. Yeah. Oh, that's very, very interesting. And the other thing I want you to ask is, what specific strategies have you implemented to promote diversity and inclusion in a digitally driven work environment?
Thank you. It's actually the topic that I'm very excited to talk about. And
I know.
At the same time, right, it's also it's part of who we are, right, at VUGA. And sometimes it's great to talk about that just to remind ourselves what kind of work we have done already. So thank you very much, Barbara, for the question, right? And I mean, we do have the wide range of things that aim specifically at creating a safe and diverse and also inclusive workspace. So the first thing, of course, which as many others did, right, the moment COVID hit, right, so we just looked into how to organize the remote work, right, how to organize the remote workflow, and then make sure that people know what is expected. Do we all come to these meetings, or we decide we want or we don't want, or you need to give others a heads up when you're not coming, right?
And that's so simple simple tools, but if I go deeper into conversations with other leaders and I ask them, what did you do in the beginning of our virtual leadership or hybrid leadership, the communication rules, for example, like these, and now they didn't. Usually that we do it or we used to do it in a way, I don't know, but it's now our culture. And that's the base of each conflict.
Exactly. Just set the rules, right? Put them on the wall. And then, I mean, if they don't work, right? So you will always have the chance to revive it. There are, of course, some unspoken, like a floating things, which each culture has, and that's totally normal. But there are some, if there are some basic expectations, they need to be on the wall, right? And I mean, what we also did when, for example, more digital presence became so prevalent, right, in our daily routine, we introduced the virtual diversity training, right? So, I mean, in these terms, it's not specifically targeted to virtual, but it just made the way that people can join it. And some of the exercises, some of the topics that are discussed, they were safe to discuss in that setup and not only in the room, right? Mm-hmm. And so in this training sessions, we usually focus on the understanding biases, because each of us, we're human beings, we all have it, right?
Yeah.
We also talk a lot how to promote and how to exercise inclusivity at the workplace, at your team, in the meetings, right? Anywhere you go, for example, meeting partners. And then, of course, respecting the diverse perspectives, because we can always go into extremes when you just try to find consensus on everything, or you just discard something that it's not close to your heart or to the way how you think. But like respecting these things just because they exist, it's actually something simple and for this the virtual training session was absolutely working well, right? And that also helped us to include a great expert who is not in Germany located, and that's why we always had just moments of planning were very easy, and people enjoyed it a lot.
Okay.
We, of course, hiring wise, right? We used to hire every new employee after the personal interview in the office. That used to be the times like that. Right. And then, of course, things have changed. Right.
Yeah.
And then if you imagine that people are coming from more than 50 countries, we always made them come to Berlin. Right. Because we also wanted to make sure that they see the city, they see the vibe, they see the office, they see the workspace and the team dynamics.
It's not so hard for them then to join you.
That is part of the offer, of course, right? That you see it, right? But of course, like with the time changing and the digitally driven work environment requiring things to be done differently, of course, that impacted specifically our recruitment process, right?
Yeah.
So we don't bring people, we don't make it mandatory. We just don't say that unless you come, we don't hire you. So that's not the case.
Yeah.
We also, of course, advertise on super diverse recruitment channels, right? So if we only use the specific job boards, that wouldn't be true. But we also made sure that the language is very neutral in the job ads, right? And I think that about the tool that is called Fürmint, we could speak a little bit even more, because this is the free tool that everyone could use checking their job ads when it comes to their language. And it could, so this tool is analyzing the language for you and tells you, is your job ad specifically targeting male or female audience?
Oh, yeah. That's very interesting. It's the first time I hear about
it. It's developed here in Germany.
Okay,
it's developed here in Germany, right? And then, of course, it works well with German language as well. And I mean, as an example, I'll give you one, which one of my colleagues actually got me with. And I still remember that and smile about that, because what she asked me, she's like, when you're thinking of a rock star, who do you think first of? And I probably was a little bit of an exception, just because that was around the time when Amy Winehouse, like a movie was promoted. So my first thought was about Amy Winehouse, but generally speaking, majority of people think of male rock stars. And that's why the word itself could be colored differently. And sometimes we write it wanting someone great and just a rock star, but will it target more male audience or more female audience? This is what we don't think. And these kind of tools like FuelMint, they can help you to understand where your unconscious bias that mm-hmm. was there when you were writing the job description is, and very powerful to just to check yourself. I'm happy to as well share the link to it, because anyone could use it.
Of course, but it's and it's very challenging thing now, and for you with 50 different cultures and the gender. Ah, yes, gender. Oh, that's the point. You impacted a gender bias decoder. Tell us at the end a little bit about this.
But that's exactly the tooling, right? Like that we spoke
this
about,
ferment?
Right? So this is the exactly that's the ferment. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm okay. Not very good. You see with the pronunciation, mm-hmm. but finding it for us was so. So simple at the same time, so powerful. And again, that works greatly with your job ads. This is just mm-hmm. something that I could always recommend other people who are working with hiring talent.
Yeah.
Because in a certain way, like you can always disagree when someone tells you rock star is not necessarily male, right? But when the machine will tell you this,
yeah, it's an improvement.
it's a little bit different different type of the conversation, and that's why like the gender decoder could tell you if there are any other hidden things in the job description that mm-hmm. Aiming at a specific gender, which generally speaking it's never a purpose to hire someone for their gender. It just cannot be. Not only it is like it's just against any kind of logic, because that's not the case why any company is hiring people. But yeah. What I think is important here is that just to be explorative in the way mm-hmm. how you're mm-hmm. doing things. And this is where this unconscious bias part comes in, right? Because yeah. we grew up in certain environments, we grew up with certain
of course.
People.
And, yeah, but finally, we are looking just for talents.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So,
and that's the solution.
Matter.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. finally, because we will produce another one right after, what advice would you give to other HR leaders who are aiming to create more inclusive work environments?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this tool is very helpful, but do you think of other things, if I ask you for advice for other HR leaders, what are your requests when you are looking for somebody mm-hmm. for your company? What are your requests? You mm-hmm. you are so open-minded for me, and so fast thinking in your industry, and that's a very, very good base. And mm-hmm. so what would you say from first scratch?
mm-hmm. Yeah, there are two perspectives to it, right? Because you can imagine based on your experience what would be good for your company, because you're an expert, you know your company, you know the needs, right? And another always and like way, so to say, broader way of get this information is just to listen to your employees. Right, because this is where you will receive
great
information,
yeah,
and the
yeah.
understanding of their perspective. Because if we only talk about like a not very diverse, rather homogenous group of people, their request could be, "Can we just understand why we are so homogenous?" I'm making things up right now, but understanding the request. Right, not only from your own like expert opinion, but as well from what are your teams are actually interested in. It already outlines the basic request, right? Mm-hmm. And then making the comprehensive diversity strategy out of it, right? And then make the sure that you raise the awareness, and then make sure that there is an understanding of it, and the culture and the respect of the different perspective is always important. But the most important actually here is that if you're thinking of where to start, if you are just in the beginning of this journey, or you did not put so much effort into it because there was no need, and now you are sensing there is a need in the air, I mean, there is nothing simpler than just start with asking your three, four people who you know that are very much integrated in your company and can tell you what is necessary, what is there, it's important.
Okay.
And that would be my best advice here.
Dein digital summary. Summary.
Listen to your teams. Listen to two or three or the five very aware people in your company. But the most important thing is start to listen and to act then. Thank you so much, Valentina. It was a great pleasure to have some insights now in gaming industry, to the gaming industry. And that was quite interesting for me too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much and have a lovely day.
And thank you all for listening to us. And if this helps you for your profession, so listen to us regularly. So, and bye.
Digital doesn't matter. You are the key. Barbara Liebermeister addresses the challenges of leaders in the digital age in her role as head of the Institute for Leadership Culture, as an economist, and as a human being herself.
At the end of the day, the relationships between human beings is the overarching connection.
Digital doesn't matter. You are the key.
You are the key.
Curious? Check out barbara-liebermeister.com.